of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. In fact, when I was in Bible college a few years ago, and it wasn't that long because I went to school with Susie and Phil and also Mr. Martin. But I remember we had chapel 3 days a week. And I remember I had been invited to speak at the Highland Street United Methodist Church in High Point. And they were having a lay revival, and they had invited some of the guys from the church or from the school to speak. And Tuesday night was my night. And so I'd never forget the pastor there, Herman Mandel. I don't know if anybody's ever met, but he was a riverboat gambler that got saved. And so he invited me, and I was going to speak on Isaiah chapter 6. And that day at chapel, Dr. John R. Church, now some of you folks might not know him, but Dr. Church is one of the great evangelists. I see you back there. One of the great evangelists in the Methodist. Yeah, you were there, Phil? In the Methodist Church back in the early days, the 30s and 40s and 50s. And he was the speaker that day, and he spoke on Isaiah 6, and my sermon got so much better by the time he got over. But so this is a scripture that many of us have heard and read many times before, but we pray that God would just apply it to our hearts today as we are talking about worshiping or seeking after God. Isaiah chapter 6, and if you don't have your Bible, you can read it on the little pink bulletin insert, chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, that was a way in that day and time they were able to keep track of dates. On the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What a thing to be able to say. I saw the Lord. I pray that we see the Lord in our service today. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, I want you to know that Isaiah had gone to church. Isaiah was in the temple. But as he was seeking God, the Lord revealed to him another temple and another group of worship singers. These were angels, and even a different king that he was praying for. He says in verse 2, and above him were seraphim, that's angels, and each had six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. You see, God was so holy and righteous that they weren't even able to look at him themselves. With two, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they're flying. And they were calling to one another. Now, this was the singing. There was always singing in the temple. Temple was a place of worship. But the songs that he heard sung this day were far, far more beautiful. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Smoke was always symbolic of the presence of God. Remember on the mount when Moses received the Ten Commandments, there was fire and smoke on the mountain. Woe is unto me, I cried, for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King of the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth. It's interesting how many times when God anoints his servants, He anoints them. He touches their mouth. He did the same thing to Jeremiah. He said, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for, or it's covered. And then I heard. We see, we go from hearing, or excuse me, going from seeing to hearing. And then I heard the voice of the Lord. That's my prayer for our time here today, that we might be able to hear the voice of the Lord. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for me, or go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you and honor you and thank you. You're an awesome God, and we praise you for who you are and all the ways you have blessed us. And, oh, Lord, today we come to seek you. We ask that, God, you would allow us to have a service like Isaiah was in. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and you want us to experience you to the fullest. We bless you, Lord, and thank you. God, help this humble servant, Lord, one who confessed that has had unclean lips in the past, that, God, you would use me, O Lord, to speak to your children and our family. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we join together, I just want to remind you something that we can never hear enough. I want to remind you just how much God loves you. God loves you. He loves every person here. There's nothing that you could ever do that would keep God from loving you. God created you in his image and his likeness because he loved you. God created you. In fact, if you go to that first slide, Caleb, God created man with the capacity to have a relationship with God. We could commune with God. He also created us with a mind to know him, with a soul or a will to obey him, and has given us a heart that we could praise him. God loves us. He wants us to draw near unto him. He wants to draw near unto us. You go to that next one, brother. God has been seeking after, he's been pursuing us ever since sin entered to the world. You remember, before sin, Adam and Eve were in constant and perfect fellowship with God. But sin happened, and sin always separates man from God. And so when sin entered into the world, all of a sudden, Adam and Eve were separated from God, and they passed on that sin DNA to all of us because we all have sinned. But God loves us. In Genesis 3:15, God had a plan to bring man back into fellowship with God. It was his son, the seed of woman. God loves man. Man is valuable to God. God loves man so much, man is so valuable to God, that he sent his only begotten son to die to pay and purchase our sin and pay for our penalty of our sins and to break that sin barrier. God wants us to experience his fullness. You know, it says in one of my favorite verses in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save. You see, he has come for people. He has come for you and I. He has taken the initiative. He wants us to know him in the fullness. In fact, he talks about in Luke's gospel in 15th chapter about three things that were lost. There was a lost coin, there was a lost lamb, and there was a lost son. And as he tells that parable, Jesus wants us to know how valuable we are to him. That when we are lost, he goes out and pursues us and to seek us. There is no one here today that is saved that God did not go to you first. None of us came to him without him first reaching out to us. God is seeking after us. It says, this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. We love because he first loved us. And so because love God loves us, he gives us the opportunity to love him in response. In fact, I heard a definition to worship I thought was really good. Worship is just simply man responded to God's love. We can worship God, whether it's personally and privately, in our homes, in our cars. We could worship God corporately and in public as we're here today. We worship God today in our Sunday school class. What a beautiful thing. You could worship God in a small group. You can worship God with other believers. I think it just multiplies your time. We can worship and seek after God, whether it's quietly or with loud praises. It doesn't matter. Whatever way you worship God, worship God. You don't have to become like me or like anybody else. You could be yourself. When we worship him, we put our focus on him and how we need that today. You know, there's so many things that try to get our attention. Moving. Yesterday, those of you who want to help, I want to tell you, it's going to be much easier. Because yesterday, we gave a bunch of stuff to our daughter and son-in-law. I gave some things. I gave away my hedge clippers. I love my hedge clippers. I'm going to give him my riding lawnmower. And I really love my riding lawnmower. Man, that thing has spared me a lot of, oh. We lived in one house, and the grass, I put fertilizer out, and the grass was growing so fast I couldn't keep it cut down, and I had only thing I had was a push mower, and it was getting choked out half the time. And now that I'm going to give my riding mower to my son-in-law. Don't you feel sorry for me? You know, you can get so preoccupied with life and things that are happening, but worship is to focus on God and say, Lord, I can't pay that bill right now, and Lord, I can't solve that problem, but I know you can. I'm just going to focus on you. Worship is responding obediently to God's word, which is the Bible. So God wants us to seek him because he has sought after us. So this morning we want to talk about, if you go to that next one, Brother Caleb, getting connected with God. Now, when we were doing the baptism ceremony, and thank you for if you were able to come out, we had a great time. The weather was wonderful. The pool was so, after I fell into pool one, it was really nice. Those of you who were there, I missed a step, and I just kept on. But it was good. It was good, Charlene. It was good. We had a great time. But one of the things, I was talking to Ricardo, and Ricardo, he doesn't know the religious language. And that's kind of refreshing, you know. You know, when you talk about, some people, when you talk about being saved, they're thinking about a lifeguard. They're not thinking, they don't understand. But I was talking to Ricardo to make sure he understood. And he was talking about how he had been connected with God. And that's exactly what it is to be saved, is to be connected with God. And so this morning we want to talk about how we can know we have been connected. How we can know when we enter into worship. How we can know when we have sought God and found him. Abraham, God told him to go to a promised land, or to a land he'd never been before. How would he know when he arrived? That's what worship is for a lot of us. Sometimes we're kind of novice. We're trying to figure out how to do this thing. How do we know when we have got connected with God? What do we see? What do we hear? What do we feel? What changes take place in us? What is God's part in this connection process? So this morning we want to look at Isaiah and see that Isaiah got connected with God. He worshiped God, he sought God, and he found God, and his life was changed. And so let's look at Isaiah today. We see that as we look at Isaiah in chapter 6, in fact, the Bible in Isaiah, which is probably the greatest writing prophet, it is not necessarily in chronological order. So as we come to chapter 6, we see something that is taking place in not only the nation of Judah, but in the life of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was a scribe at this time. A scribe was somebody that it could have been a secretary. Jeremiah had a scribe by the name of Baruch that he dictated his letters to. A scribe could also be one, somebody who studied and taught the scriptures. Well, Isaiah was this one person who was a scholar who studied the word, and he taught the word. And he found himself in the palace of the king serving because his king was his cousin, Uzziah. And so he found himself there, and as he was there at the last part of Uzziah's reign. You see, Uzziah began to reign when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. And during that time, there was unparalleled prosperity that took place. In 2 Samuel chapter 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, it goes into great detail. During his reign, there was a low unemployment. One of the things he did is that he had a lot of things doing with the infrastructure, and he built up buildings, and he built towers, and put people to work, and that's an important thing within a nation's economy. During that time, he built up the national army. In fact, he did something that other kings did not do. A lot of times, a king would have people come serve in the army, but they didn't give them weapons or armor. But we see that was not true with Uzziah. Not only did he give them weapons, but he gave them armor. In fact, he was an inventor. He invented things to throw boulders on people, kind of like a catapult. I remember my son was in school. Remember that, Sylvia? Trebuchet. And what it was just a big thing that threw boulders. And so, he was very intelligent. He brought about a time of spiritual reformation. They put away all the idols. And so during that year, those 52 years, it was a time of great prosperity, except the last maybe year, because Uzziah, up to that time, had sought God, but it said that he became proud. That's always, you're never to the place where you're not susceptible to pride. And he became proud, and he chose to go in and offer a sacrifice in the temple. And when he did so, God struck him with leprosy, and he was contaminated, and he was held out in a house separate from everybody else. He no longer could be king. He had turned over to his son, and that leprosy brought his death. So Uzziah has died. So Isaiah, he's had a personal and a national tragedy take place. He's lost his cousin, who was the great king, and now they've lost the leadership, and what would they do? And so we see Isaiah seeking after God. You see, a lot of times God will allow things into our life, difficult times, transitions, tragedies. He brings them to our life so we will seek after God. Sylvia was sharing a little bit today about we had tumultuous 3 years before we came to the church here. And it was not because we did anything wrong. It's because we did what was right. You see, sometimes when you do what was right, that causes some issues. And we did what God wanted us to do, but it caused some real opposition. And that was difficult to see. The church now there, they've got a interim person there who is serving to try to bring the church together because they've got issues. And so that's a sad thing. But during that time, we sought God probably like we've never sought him before. God, speak to us. What's your will? Did we really do what was right? Are we pleasing you? Are we bringing you glory? You see, it's hard when sometimes people reject you, to know that God still is accepting you. Does that make any sense? So we see that God was bringing about a change. Now, Caleb, go to the next one, brother. So we see that Isaiah went to church. He went to worship. It was, you know, where do you go when you got problems? Where do you go when you got tragedies? What do you do? Where do you go when you find out that you might have tested positive for cancer? Where do you go when your spouse leaves you? Where do you go when you've had a death in your family? Where do you go when you've been laid off from a job that you've had for 30 years and now you don't even know if you could get a job? Where do you go? Well, we see Isaiah went to God. And he says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and his train of his robe filled the temple. Now, we know that no one can look at God and live. So we believe that God gave Isaiah a vision. Now, when God speaks to you, when he reveals himself to you, he will reveal himself to you in your own unique way. And for Isaiah, it was to give a vision. I don't think I've ever had a vision before. Maybe I did one time. But, you know, that's how God speaks to Muslims. You know, Muslim people, many of them that are getting saved because they had a dream, and they dreamed about Jesus. That's one of the big things that are bringing Muslims to the Lord. So we see that Isaiah has this vision. And in this vision, he is in heaven. And he sees the Lord. In fact, some people even think that who he saw on the throne was Jesus. Just like Daniel saw Jesus in Sunday school. And when he saw him, he saw his majesty and glory. He says in, was it verse 3, that his glory filled the earth. The glory of God. He said, he saw his holiness. The angels were singing, holy, holy, holy. You know, without holiness, no man shall see God. That's what the scripture says. He saw the power of God. Even the angels, when they spoke, the threshold and the doorpost shook. What do you think about when God spoke? He saw the purity of God. And in that moment, he saw his own sinfulness. You see, when we seek God, when he allows us to see him, whatever way that is, God reveals to him, or to us, our sinfulness. Is that the Lord there? Anyway, that was interesting. So when we seek God, when we find God, we see his holiness, and in that reflection, we see our sinfulness. Has it happened to you before? It's happened to me. I remember I was praying for my uncle. He had cancer, and I was seeking God. And as I was seeking God, he began to let me see myself. And I started asking for forgiveness for things that I didn't even know I was guilty of. And that's when God met with me. And I think that's true with all of us. So he said, I saw the Lord, his majesty, his holiness, his power, his purity, his sinlessness. All right, Brother Caleb. And it says that God sent a coal. And the angels took it with the tongs. So it was so hot the angels could not even touch it. And they brought it over and they applied it to his problem. His sin was his lips. You know, I think individuals have sin, secret sins, or maybe sin strongholds, but there's something that is keeping them from hearing God. There's a sin, and God sent the fire, and he cleansed his lips. And when he experienced that cleansing touch from God, he went from seeing to hearing. And then I heard the Lord. I heard the Lord. Now notice things that happened. God allowed tragedy to take place in the kingdom. Isaiah seeks God. As he seeks God, God reveals his majesty and his holiness. He sees his sin. God brings a coal and cleanses him from his sin. And all of a sudden, now Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me. Send me. All right, brother, go to the next one, please. Let me just make a couple observations I think that might help us as we connect with God. And by the way, we all want to be connected with God. I don't care how old or how young you are. Isn't it an awesome thing for God to speak to you? He can speak to you at any age. He spoke to Samuel when he was a boy. Uzziah became king when he was 16 years old. The first thing we see that Isaiah was intentional. He went with the intention of connecting with God. And as we come to church, when we come to our small groups, when we come to our prayer meeting, that's essential that we must come with intentions that we're going to seek and find God, that we're going to connect with God, connect with God, connect with God. The hymn touches. He was worshiping God. That was his goal. That was his priority. That was his need. When I was growing up, I attended a church, and I don't really know why people went to church. In fact, I was not a Christian, so I mean, probably I didn't really know a whole lot, but I asked my daddy one day, and I said, Daddy, why do people go to church? We were on our way home from church. Daddy, why do we go to church? And he said, well, it makes you feel good. And it does. But that's not why you go. It's to reach out, to touch God. After I got saved, I remember one time I said amen in the church, and the church about split. I mean, it was like, what are you doing? What are you saying? I mean, you ever been in a church like that? You know, it was just Isaiah had the intention. He was going to connect with God. The second thing I want you to observe is that Isaiah was motivated to seek God because of tragedy. God will use whatever means is needed to bring us. He's bringing our country to a place. He wants to speak to our country right now. I'm serious about this. You know, God could have sent that hurricane out to sea. He allowed it to happen because he knows that we are so far away from him that unless there's a time of national revival and repentance, that this nation will not live beyond my lifetime, which I don't know how long that'll be. I mean, people have asked me many times, where is America in the end times? I said, it isn't. At least I don't know of it referenced. Because of a national tragedy, God brings us to the place, and Isaiah was aware of his need for God, and he was aware that his nation needed God. The third observation is that Isaiah sought after God. When he did, he was unaware of his own sinfulness. You see, sometimes we seek God. He was praying for a new king. We do this sometimes. Sometimes we pray for something, and God answers that prayer by giving us something entirely different than what we prayed for. You know, we were praying, God, send somebody to buy our house. Send somebody to buy our house. And God sent a renter instead. I guess that works out, but, you know, sometimes God does things off the map. And sometimes when we're praying for him, he shows us that there's a need. Woe is me. I'm ruined. For I'm a man of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord. His vision made him aware of his need. The fourth thing, Isaiah connected with God, or when he did connect with God, that's when he began to hear the voice after his lips were cleansed. Sin within the heart of the believer will prohibit him from connecting with God. That's just simple Bible truth. If you've got sin you're harboring in your heart, you're going to have a hard time hearing his voice. You're going to have a hard time hearing his voice. In fact, it's going to be impossible. And we're talking about sin. It's not big sin. It's sometimes it's something that's not that big that God has spoken to you about doing, that you have disobeyed. And before you're going to be able to get any more direction, you've got to go back to where you left him. Does that make sense? You've got to go back to that place where God convicted you and spoke to you. And then you've got to repent and turn from that sin. And then you'll be able to experience that relationship. And then the last thing I want you to notice, that he responded immediately and obeyed God's voice. Here am I, send me. As we continually obey God, we'll continually find that guidance and that direction. He'll speak to us. He'll direct us. He'll guide us. Are you connected with God? I'm sure many of us here are. Do you worship God intentionally, whether it's at home or whether it's at church? Do you do it with a goal that you're going to seek God? Do your problems and concerns bring you closer to God, or do they drive you away from God? It could happen that way too. Have you come into the presence of God's holiness? Has he cleansed you from that sin that's preventing you if you're not hearing his voice? The time is now to respond with obedience immediately. Let's pray. Lord, Father, if I had a TV show that would reach the world, this would be the message I believe that you would want people to hear. That, Lord, if we'll seek you, we'll find you. If we seek you with all our heart. Lord, this is important for us as a nation. It's important for us as a families. And it's important for us even as a church. For God, as we seek to go forward and make a difference in this world, as we seek to grow and bring people, men and women, boys and girls, to Jesus, we know that, God, we've got to be in tune with you. Lord, we don't want to borrow what they do at the First Baptist Church or the First Wesleyan Church. God, we just want you to speak to us. Speak to us like you speak to us, Lord. Give us that vision, that the intimacy, Lord, that you might speak into us. And Lord, give us your love that we'll respond and worship you and obey you. Oh God, we're here to worship you, but Lord, we want to leave to serve you. Oh God, I pray right now for the new neighborhood that Sylvia and I are going to be living in. Lord, I'd prefer to live on a farm, but at the same time, when you're living in an apartment complex, you've got a lot of people right around you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to reach the families there, those who are not even American families, those who are Buddhist or Muslim or whatever, atheist. Lord, help us, Father. Just help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. this morning as we close in prayer, if you feel like that maybe you're disconnected, maybe during this message the Holy Spirit has brought something to your awareness that you have failed to do or not do, you need to go back to where you left him. Repent. Turn from your ways. And then you'll see a change in your ability to hear. Does anyone need to be reconnected today? Lord, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all very much for being such a wonderful congregation. I hope that you have a wonderful Labor Day. Why is it on Labor Day you usually end up laboring? You ever notice that? You know, of course, some of you might go to the golf course or wherever you might go shopping. You got some good deals, Labor Day layaway, whatever. So, Sylvia, if you'll join me, we'll get over here. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And just keep listening. Amen.
Crush the air.